Actually, we're not going to be in Luke at all today. So we are in the book of Proverbs, and we're taking a detour because, well, just to be honest with you, I wanted to take a detour for a little while. I just felt that we need to have a discussion about wisdom. And what better place to talk about than the wisdom of Solomon? I want to just kind of give you a little bit of an introduction to the book of Proverbs, and then we're going to go through, and I want to explain to everyone how I studied and how I encourage you to study the book of Proverbs, and the process I believe that everybody should be taking in Proverbs. We're going to talk about what Proverbs was intended to be and who it was intended for, and then we're going to look at each verse, and the thing about these verses is they're all pithy little sayings, little teachings that you can grab a hold of quickly, and the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God can learn God's mind, God's will for daily living. And that's what we're going to talk about. So we're looking at a study of the wisdom literature of Proverbs. To begin with, I want to explain to you that Solomon is known as the wisest man that ever lived. We've all heard that saying. And the question comes, well, where did he get his wisdom? Well, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, 7 through 12, discusses the interaction that God had with Solomon when Solomon was speaking before God, and God asked him as the new king to ask me whatever you will, and ask me what you would have of me and what you would want. And Solomon said this, "Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" Well, let's start out just for a minute in prayer and ask God to give us wisdom as we consider His Word and His message. Help me, Father, Lord, this teaching on wisdom, this understanding, Lord, it is for each one of us. It's something that we all need to seek after every day of our lives, wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And Lord, there's a specific kind of wisdom and knowledge and understanding that leads to life and then one that leads to death. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us a wisdom of truth that leads to life and that we may be wise even in our youth and in our old age and in our middle age. And every one of us, if we do not have wisdom, your word says, let us ask you and you who is able to give us exceedingly abundantly above everything we should hope or ask for, you will answer us. So, Lord, we ask you this day to give us wisdom and give us understanding and give us guidance so that we may know you and your word and your will and your wisdom and the right way to walk in the path of a holy, righteous God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See, Solomon's dad was King David. And we understand that. But there was a problem. King David, dad, didn't do everything right. Kind of had a few bumps in the road. And he wrote a lot about his lamenting over all the bumps he had in the road. But David learned wisdom through his bumps in the road. Solomon was learning wisdom through those bumps in the road, but he wanted to be a wise king to know how to lead and to teach the people of God and his own household. Now, if the proof for this is that you have an entire book that was written, and he didn't write all of it, but all that he wrote was written to warn his son about the type of person he should be, the type of person he shouldn't be, the type of people not to be around, the type of people to be around, the ones to emulate, the ones to reject, what it means to be a man of God and how you should walk if you want to be wise. But he also talked about what it means to be a fool. The entirety of the book of Proverbs tells us so many different things about what type of person that we can be. But he learned this because God taught him. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 11 says this. God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, you haven't asked for possessions, wealth, honor, and the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may govern my people over whom I have made you a king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will also give you the richest possession and honor, such as none of the kings has ever were before you, and none after you shall ever be the like." Now you think about this. He promised a blessing upon Solomon because he sought after wisdom, he sought after knowledge. And God says it is a blessing for us to seek after the wisdom of God. But the wisdom of God is not found in man's tradition or vainglory. It's not found in wealth. It's not found in any other way except for by God Himself. God is the one that grants wisdom. You can have experience in life and never have wisdom. You can have all kinds of experiences and never learn from them. The prison systems are full of people who have had all kinds of experiences and never learned not to do that. They never learned discipline. Children all over America have never learned discipline, even though they've been corrected all their lives. Adults have never learned responsibility, even though it's been put upon them all their lives. So let's talk about the Book of Wisdom. We're looking at an introduction to Proverbs. I just want to lay this out to you. The Book of Proverbs begins with verse 1 through 6. We'll read it in a moment. I'm not going to read it right now. But with verses 1 through 6 as the introduction to the entire book. It sets out, this is who I am, this is who the writer is, these are the things that the book is about, things that the book wants you to understand and learn, and the different ways that you're going to learn it through prose, through riddles, through rhymes, through poetry, all the different ways that you're going to learn these truths. And then in verse 7, it gives you the motto of the book. Verse 7 tells you the entire motto of the entire book, the whole reason it was written, what you need to look for, how you need to identify the entire book of Proverbs, and it is summed up in verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction." Major, major big points here. Verse number 7 tells us, first of all, we are to fear the Lord. But because you fear the Lord, that is the very beginning of knowledge, because you begin to understand God's ways. You begin to understand who God is and the person of God, the thoughts of God, the mind of God. And the only reason that you should fear the Lord is if you are at enmity with God and you are not on a steady relationship with God. And so therefore, as a beginning understanding of the knowledge of who God is, we come to understand, I don't like the reference particularly, but I do agree with it this way. C.S. Lewis says that God is not a tame lion, right? That Aslan is not a tame lion. And it's the principle of it is this, that yes, for sure, God is not a tame lion. He can come at you at any moment. If you are not His, He will come at you one day and devour you and have you. If you are His, He will come at you every day. We talked about that in Sunday school. But the next point is, fools despise wisdom and knowledge. Don't be a fool. Be wise. You want to be wise? Start studying to show yourself approved. You want to be wise? Seek after the things of God. Seek to fear God and understand His calling for you, what He's called you to be. First of all, as a child, you should want to fear God in His wisdom because, by the way, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. And God in His kindness has given you every day and every breath. He's given you parents that love you enough that they're going to teach you the ways of God. And you should fear God and listen to instruction lest you be a fool. You see, this one little passage could take weeks, days, weeks to unfold and unpack as you look at every little bit of it. But then it goes on for more things. So chapter 1, verse 1, it would tell us about the introduction to the book. And the Bible, the book of Proverbs is, you can look at it as practical wisdom for everyday living. Now, you guys know this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. My way of looking at Proverbs is it's got 31 verse or chapters for a reason. Every single day, you should be in another chapter of the book of Proverbs. Every day, you should read through and study the book of Proverbs, one chapter a day. This is the 21st of May, 2017. So today, you should read chapter 1 and begin to try to understand, ask God for wisdom, pray for wisdom, and say, God, show to me, reveal to me. I'm not wise enough to understand it. Find somebody that is and say, what do these passages mean? What does this pithy little verse mean? What does verse 1 mean? What does verse 2 mean? And go through it and understand what God's Word and God's will is for your life and how you should live every day of your life. Because the wisdom and the truth is there. This is called the wisdom literature for a reason. It's something that you need to know to be wise in the sight of God, lest you be a fool. There's a pastor that said the pursuit of wisdom is a lifelong endeavor that is only and finally achieved at the foot of the throne of God. And that was me. You are going to continue for the rest of your life pursuing either worldly wisdom or God's wisdom. Worldly wisdom, the Bible tells us, will lead you to death and destruction. But the wisdom of God will lead you to the knowledge of holiness. It will lead you to righteousness. It will lead you to truth. And that's the wisdom that you need to pursue. Now, who's the audience of this book? I tried to think of any other way to say it, but what is this book addressed to? What audience is this book focused upon? Well, first of all, it's the fathers and sons and their daughters. But if you notice, at the very beginning of this book, it's written to from Solomon, the son of David, and it's written to his son, his primary son, his first son. It's written to his important son in his world, in his life. And it's something he wants his children to know. But it's not just written to that. It's written to men and women. Okay? So not only do you have to be a son or a daughter, but you have to be either male or female. It's very important that God wants you to know that men, you are to be this type of man. Woman, you are to be this type of woman. Man, you're to stay away from this type of man. Woman, you are to stay away from this type of woman. This is what you're supposed to be out. It's written for the opposite sex. It's written for the same sexes. It's written for men and women so that everyone understands what God's place of holiness is, what God's idea of holiness is, and what God's idea of wickedness is for the life of every man, woman, and child. It doesn't finish there. It's for fathers and mothers, and you need to listen to this. One day you're going to have children, and one day you've had children. You are responsible for raising these children in godliness and in holiness. And if you don't, you will answer for it. You may answer for it here on earth when your child goes into absolute rebellion and turns into a wicked monster of iniquity. You may start to answer for it then, or you may not see that day until you stand before a holy God and He says, why did you not do what you were called to do? The Proverbs is a portal to tell you what kind of mom and dad to be. If you will look through these by implication and listen to yourself as if you were Solomon, speaking to your child, that's the type of person you are to be. The neglect of such is the type of person you're not to be. It's also written for honorable men and wretched women. It's written to teach you what an honorable woman is like. As Diane just said just a minute ago, we've said this in our household for years, there are 30 chapters of Solomon talking to his son, and in those chapters intermingled are 30 chapters of Solomon saying this is the type of woman never to be around. And one full chapter where Solomon tells where God tells the people of God, this is the type of lady to find. This is the type of Proverbs 31 woman you want to have. This is the type of one that you want to be around. But But I want you to listen to this also. It also is 30 chapters of women don't act like the harlot. Women don't act like this. Don't act like that. Don't be boastful and self-righteous and self-confident and you don't need no man and you don't need this. Don't be a feminist and don't be, you know, a man-hating. Don't be the brutish. Don't be all these things. Be a godly woman and here's what it looks like. And also, here's what the wicked women are like. It goes on to tell us about honorable men. And it tells us what honorable men are like. We can see it in the conduct of Solomon and how he's telling his son to behave. But he also, at the very beginning, starts out talking to us about what it means to be hanging around with and associating with wicked, sinful people. It tells us about children of all ages. It tells us about how children are to be raised up and behave, how they're expected to act, what they're expected to be like, and what it means when they have no respect, when they have no love, no honor for their parents. And it shows itself glaringly in the attitudes that Solomon says are right in front and center of this book. But it also talks to all of those who seek to be wise. If you wish to be wise, wealthy, and worthy, and I don't mean just financially wealthy, that may come, that's not a guarantee, but spiritually wealthy. But if you wish to be worthy in the spirit, worthy as a parent, worthy as a child, worthy as a man, worthy as a woman, then follow after the wisdom in this book. That's your introduction to the things of this book. The principal thing of this book is his plea to his son for his son to get wisdom. In 1 Kings 4:32, it is said that Solomon uttered more than 3,000 proverbs. The Hebrew word is mashal. More than 3,000 proverbs to the people and to his son. He was uttering them all the time, and people would write them down. He would write his own proverbs down. He was so wise. When he said things, you better listen. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Gomer Pyle list of fools was to walk in to this congregation and begin speaking to you about the ways of wisdom, should you listen? Let me try it again. If the Gomer Pyle list of fools was to walk into this church and begin to talk to you about the ways of wisdom, should you listen? One more time. If the Gomer Pyle list of fools was to walk into this congregation and they were to talk to you about the ways of wisdom, should you listen? No. I need everybody to pay attention. Listen. But if the wisest man that ever lived wrote a book and put it in your hands, should you possibly pay attention? God wrote a book for you and then gave us the wisest man that ever lived who to write a book for you. And this book is for in your hand today. This is an important book that you should want to know about. It, you should want to know because God gave Solomon this wisdom. It wasn't his. God gave it to him. God gave it to him so that you could have it in your hands on this day. So let's start looking at some of these things for the next few minutes, for a little while, and start seeing if we can break out and pull out some of the marrow of this meat. Start pulling off the meat off these bones and start smoking it and grilling it and get it good and cooked up so we can have us a good, hearty meal of wisdom and instruction and knowledge. Because I want you to be fed. This is the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. I want you to notice first three things. This is Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. The son of David, the king after God's own heart, and he's the king of Israel, and his heart is to teach instruction and wisdom and understanding of insight. He wants the people that read this, that hear this, that know this, especially his own son, to know wisdom and instruction. We just read that a fool rejects instruction. A fool rejects wisdom and insight. There are many people, when you start to read the Word of God to them, they hear the truth of the Word of God, And the very first thing they do is say, oh, I'm not that bad. Oh, you're being judgmental. Oh, you know, you're just not being very loving. And they reject the insight of the Word of God because their feelings are hurt. They're offended that you said anything. They're offended at the light of the Word of truth, and they do not want it. And Solomon says to his own son, listen to my words. Now, before we go any further, how did Solomon learn his wisdom? Do you know how he learned about what it means to find a godly woman and to be around a godly woman and what the harlot and the fool and the worthless trash of the world is? Because he lived it. He had 700 concubines, 300 wives. There is no way he had a happy moment in his marriage except for the first person that he went, the Song of Solomon, and married her. That was righteous in the sight of God. But everything else he did in his life, he had to repent of. He had to plead to God for peace and comfort in his life, because every moment of it, he was learning the pain and sorrow of rebellion against the Holy God. And you know what he did? He wrote down a book, son, don't be like me. If that doesn't break a parent's heart, you're dead. How many parents in the room can say, God, I don't want my sons, my daughters to make the mistakes I made? Don't we? Don't we just say, Lord God, please don't let my kids be stupid as I was? You see, you learn wisdom through the Word, or you learn it by the destruction of your life. And the problem with learning wisdom by the destruction of your life is most of the time you don't even understand it. So learn it through the instruction and understanding of the words of God, of the insight of God. Listen to this. To receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, justice, and equity. You want to know how to live right? Be in the Word, be in the Proverbs, understand and know. Seek to hear the Word. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. You want to teach people what it means to live upright and prudent and properly and respectfully? Be in the Word. Knowledge and discretion to the youth. Do you guys know as much as your parents know? Do you know what it is that they know and why you shouldn't be doing the things we say you shouldn't do? You'll find out one day if you refuse to listen. But if you want to be an honorable child, a godly child, then you better hearken and heed the word of your parents. Let the wise hear and increase in hearing, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. That's what he says. This is the whole purpose of this book. This is what you're going to find in the book of Proverbs. This is what the purpose is for you to read this every day and to forsake everything else but fear and knowledge and instruction of the Lord. And verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want to have knowledge? Start there. God, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. God, I know that if I stand before you in my righteousness, I will die and go to hell for eternity. I know that my sins in my life are worthy of death. I know that my righteousness is filthy rags. And I know today I didn't wake up in the right mood. I didn't honor you in the right mood. I didn't pray in the right mood. I haven't even sung a song in the right mood. But I know, Lord God, that you're my Savior. And I ask you, God, based upon your name, to save me again today, to keep me safe in your arms. You see, the Bible tells us that fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you refuse to hear, it's because you're a fool and not of Christ. Then, we've made it through there to verse 7. Now let's go to verse 8. This is the very first major instruction that he gives. You know what it is? Stay away from sinners. When they're doing stuff, don't do stuff with them. When they do stupid, don't do stupid with them. Whatever they're doing, go the other direction. When they live the party life, you go live the righteous life. All the things that they want to do, you stay away from them because they will destroy you and you will prove that you were never a part of Christ to begin with. Listen to it. Hear my son, your father's instruction. Remember Solomon talking to his son. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Your mom has poured into your life and talked to you and talked to you and talked to you till she's blue in the face and screamed and hollered and yelled and begged and pleaded and everything she's done. And you said, I don't need to hear that. He says, don't do that. Listen to what she's telling you. Yes, it sounds like she's always constantly on you. And yes, it sounds like Dad is always lecturing you. How many times have I been told that I lecture too much? Well, too bad. Do not forsake your father's instruction. That's the didactic teaching, the lecturing, the constantly, all the time. Because here's one thing you need to understand. You don't need to hear the gospel once. You need to hear the gospel every day. You don't need to hear about salvation once. You need to hear it every day. Even if you're saved, you don't need to hear about righteousness once. You need to hear it every day. Why? Because we all want to go our own way. We all love the ways of the world and the righteousness of the world, the unrighteousness of the world. We all love the things of the world because it's in our wicked, though dead body that's going to fall into the ground and be destroyed, and our glorified body is going to be with us. But your spirit is of Christ. And your spirit says, no, teach me. Does it? Doesn't it want to be taught? If it does, listen to your mom and dad's instruction and your teaching. Don't turn it away. Listen to what he says. Put it as a graceful garland about your head and a pendant on your neck. My mom and dad love me enough to care enough to teach me. I want to honor that. I want to hear it and obey it, to bathe in it, to love it, to rejoice when my dad cares enough. Ooh, I didn't have a dad that would sit me down and talk to me about the things of God and the ways of righteousness. The Heavenly Father Himself in His Holy Word had to teach me. I did a pathetic job as a father for the longest time trying to do what I thought was right. My kids will tell you I messed up a lot. But I tried. And I wanted them to know. I wanted them to hear. I wanted them to understand. And Solomon says, if you're wise, don't forsake that. Do not run from that. But grab hold of it like it was your very life. Put it around your neck. Show it off. Hey, look, my dad wasn't perfect. My mom wasn't perfect. But they love me enough to talk to me and tell me of God. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Listen to that first message. When sinners say, hey, come and let's play, you say, no way. It rhymed. You could put that on your neck. A little pendant right there. Do not consent. You love the things of the world, the wickedness, the vileness, the things that are out there on television and Netflix and voodoo and everything else and on the movies and everything else, the demon everything and everything's wickedness and sex and party and everything else. That's part of it. But then there's another part of it. Listen to this. Violent men and women. By the way, this is actually, you could actually look at this as a gang lifestyle. If they say, come with us and let us lie in wait for blood and let us ambush the innocent without reason. Black Lives Matter does that. Sorry if you don't like it, but that's the truth. Like Sheol, let us swallow them down alive. I mean, that's the motto. If you're white, you're a cop, you owe us everything, and we should be able to take what we want, and if we kill you, we kill you. That's not the way of the righteous. That's not the way of godly men and women. Verse 12, like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole. Let those who go like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods and shall fill our houses with plunder. You know, the Bible tells us that God hates the man who loves violence. God hates the man who loves violence. Did you know that? You love watching violent stuff on television. You love participating in violence and wickedness and debauchery. God hates it. Not only does He hate it, but He hates the person that loves it. But continue on, verse 14. The sinner says, throw in your lot amongst us, and we will all have a common purse. We will do what's evil, and we will share in the plunder. My son, don't walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their path. Please listen. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. Yeah, they might get a little something here and there. They might get something from here and there. But eventually, they're going to get what's coming to them. They're going to get their own trap, their own snare. They're going to get a reward for their wickedness. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of those who want to possess it. Or in this case, it says, of its possessors. Those who desire to possess unjust gain, they are doing nothing but setting a trap for themselves. So how do I get wisdom? Well, there's the idea of question everything, and you'll learn wisdom that way. It's this concept that if you just become a skeptic, and the ultimate skeptic, and you question everything, you will find ultimate wisdom by questioning everything. That's not what the Bible says. Well, how about if we all come together and we sit around and we just give a groupthink conference where we all sit and we all try to work out what we think is wise? How about we read a whole bunch of different books about a bunch of different people's opinions about what they think wisdom is? Or how about we start screaming and yelling at each other and we fight until we figure out who's the most right? By the way, some of us know who that is. Calvin. Calvin and Hobbes. Proverbs 4:7 says this, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. In other words, everything that you're acquiring for yourself, everything you're doing for yourself to get all the stuff you want to get, fine, do that. Go to college, get a PhD, become an accountant. Go to college, become a doctor. Go to college, do whatever you want to do, that's fine. Get wisdom, though. And there's only one place that wisdom comes from. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom cries out in the streets and in the markets. She raises her voices. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out, and at the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, you simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing, and the fools hate knowledge? If you turn away at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my... Or I'm sorry. If you turn to me, let me say that, at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. You want to know what wisdom is? Seek God. And God will pour out such wisdom on you that you will know His Word and you will have knowledge of the intention and the meaning behind it. The Scripture tells us that the Word of God is a revealed Word. It's not just something you read to understand. It's revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because I have called and refused to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one was heeded, and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will laugh in the day of your calamity. You know, there's a lot of people that say at the moment of just the ultimate destruction, that everything's coming about, everything's falling apart. They say, oh God, help me. Why this? Why me? Because you're a fool. You heard the Word of God. You heard the preaching. You heard the truth. You heard the instruction. There was somebody somewhere giving you the truth. You had a gospel tract. You had the gospel in your hand. There's Bibles everywhere. And yet you wanted the world's ways. Congratulations. You now get the world's reward. Don't come running when the day of calamity comes, because that day will be too late. The day of calamity is not just the small little thing. It's the day of ultimate destruction. It's the day when it's all over with. When you have no more avenue to take and no more path to make. It's the day when you can't shake your fist at God anymore because you're dead and you're standing before Him. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then you will call upon me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. This is wisdom. And as we see, God's wisdom It was been with God ever since the very beginning. It always has been with God. And when God imparted wisdom into the world, He brought it out from the foundation of the world. And He's called men and women to know Him. To know Him is to be given the wisdom of understanding. If you reject it, then you get what you get and you can't throw a fit. We've said that before, haven't we, Gracie? Why? Because they hated knowledge. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. There are many people in this world that are wise in their own eyes. And Romans chapter 1:18 starts out and tells us about all the fools in the world. And we get to, I believe it's 32 or 23. No, it's 32. We finally get to this passage that tells us that there will always be fools that deny God, that reject God, they hate God, they want some other way, and they are so foolish that they just run around patting each other on the back, giving each other PhDs and loving on each other and talking about how smart you are. Neil deGrasse Tyson running around talking about we are stardust, literally and figuratively. Every single part of your body is stardust. And you hear people talk like that, and they sound so erudite, sound so high and mighty and haughty, and they hate God, they reject God, and the premise is just like the other guy, I can't remember his name, that we watched on television here. He says, it has to be some other way than God. So we have to reject Jesus Christ and God outright because we can't have that one. He's judgmental. How is that a foundation for truth? Because God is the judge? He says here, because they hated knowledge and would not choose to fear the Lord, they would not have choose my counsel, and they despised all of my correction. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their ways. They'll have the feel of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away. Do you know God does not have to do anything extra special to take you out? He just has to let you sit and do the stupid stuff you do, and eventually you're going to kill your own self. We've got abortion clinics and Planned Parenthood everywhere, all over this country. And people say, oh, it's just an embryo, yeah. What does that mean in French? It's a baby. It's a baby. And they figured out how to destroy life. They figured out how to kill themselves because what? They did not choose to hear and fear God. But whoever listens to me will dwell securely and be at ease without dread of disaster. But what about persecution? Doesn't Jesus say that persecution is going to be with Christians all day long, always? I had an evangelist friend of mine who had a man put a gun to his face. And he said, you say you believe in God. You say you believe in Jesus Christ. You say that you're a Christian. Well, you're going to meet God. And he looked at me and he says, you're going to threaten me with heaven? He looked right at the guy and said, you're going to threaten me with heaven? Go right ahead. It scared the guy and he left. Because he didn't know what to do. He thought the guy was going to fall apart. Listen to this. You listen to the Lord, you listen to Him, obey Him, you want to hear His Word, His commands, you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, you want to know instruction, the fear of the Lord, you want to know the ways of God, you're going to dwell securely even if you're in the midst of hell. Why? Because you're His. What can hurt you when the King has you? What can hurt you when you have eternal life and it's guaranteed, it's forever? What can hurt you when you're a child of the Most High God? And you're living a righteous life for the glory of God. Proverbs chapter 2 tells us the way of wisdom. I know I'm jumping into chapter 2, but I had to. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, and search for it as for hid treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Where does wisdom come from, guys? The Lord gives it. From His own mouth. I put own in there. From His own mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of His saints. Guys, if you seek after God, if you seek after wisdom, if you seek after the Word of God and understanding, God will guard your paths and He will watch over you and cause you to walk in righteousness and not in worldliness. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity and a good path. You want to know how to walk? You can walk like the world or you can walk like God. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from evil men or from men of perverted speech. In other words, you're not going to have a filthy mouth that likes to go around with a potty mouth all the time and who forsake the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. I see people all the time today professing to be Christians and they want to live in the dregs of black darkness. They have to wear the dark clothes and they have to be filled with tattoos because that's the only cool thing to do. And they got to be in the goth system. They got to be in all these other movements of human worldliness, and they say, oh, I'm a Christian. You can't judge my heart. You can't judge me. They live worldly lives. I can be a drunk. I can be a drug addict. I can smoke pot. I can do all this stuff. And they live worldly lives, and they act like the world and walk like the world and talk like the world, and yet they claim to be of Christ. That's called a hypocrite. That's what that is. And God here says, those who forsake those paths, who forsake those paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. You understand what that's saying? The perverted way of anti-God living, paganism, worldliness, evil. The perverted way. It's everything. I mean, everything that you can think of that is that God calls perverted and wicked and abomination, those things are the things that people run after when they deny their God. Men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, they're liars. They have nothing to do with God. They want no God to control them or to guide them or to give them the ways of truth and righteousness. These men and these women are the ones who will destroy themselves because they will not hear God. They do not love God. In closing, the question comes, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you a person that seeks after righteousness? Do you want to know the Word of God? Do you want to know the ways of wisdom? Are you so filled with a heart of love for God that you've rejected the ways of worldliness? Or are you a person that so wants to be worldly that you can't wait for the moment that you get away from any instruction and teaching so you can live out your worldliness? You see, one is a true convert. The other is a lying pagan that's only fooling themselves, and one day they're going to stand before a holy God and they're going to split hell wide open. So which one are you? I hope this day you've thought about yourself and asked yourself, do I display the fruits of the Spirit and the truth of righteousness? Do I want to be led in the paths of righteousness? Is my heart towards holiness, or am I so consumed with worldliness that I have no heart for Christianity? We just read chapter 1 and most of chapter 2 in less than an hour. We went through this and did much teaching on it. It's not that hard. All you have to do is just be committed to look and say, what does it mean? Learn how to break down sentences and figure out what the words mean. Because that's all it is. You figure out what the words are meaning, and God is applying those truths to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be righteous, get in the book of Proverbs every day and read it. If you want your children to be righteous, do the same thing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to come before You, Lord, and I pray, God, that this message will burn into the hearts of all that hear it. As an introduction to the ways of godliness, Lord, my prayer is over the next few weeks we'll be able to make it all the way through the book of Proverbs and teach through each section of it and show what it means to be a man, a woman, a child of God, and what it means to live out the life of holiness in the sight of a holy God before the people of God and the people of the world. Lord, I pray that you'll just give us the opportunity to reach out to more and more people in our community and in our world. God, I pray for all the opportunities and all the setbacks and all the sideways and all the stuff that's going on in our ministry and our time. Lord, glorify yourself this day. In your holy name I pray, Lord. Amen.